evening, everyone. I want to start with aggressive sanctification of the tongue is what I'll be speaking from tonight. And at first, there were flip phones. And there were phones you could play games on. Then things changed with iPhones. And shortly after that, there were Android phones. And now even Google has phones. All of these state-of-the-art functions are new ways to communicate, right? There was even a time when people wrote letters to other people. Then came email. And now we have Skype and text messaging. Can you even imagine that there was a time when people actually sat down and talked with one another face to face? Now they either log on to Facebook or even Twitter. All of these devices definitely have one thing in common, and that is that they are all used in one way or another to communicate. And communication involves words. Words of all sorts. Words to describe things. Words to encourage. Words to criticize and even express emotion. Words used to convey information. Sometimes we underestimate the value God has given us the ability to use words. Some have even said, in fact, many studies have been conducted on exactly how many words a person speaks in a day. Some have said the average for males is anywhere from around maybe 3,000 to 4,000 words, while females is around 10,000 to 20,000 a day. Although we don't know the official total, the fact still remains that we all use a lot of words. We communicate, and the Bible has some fascinating things to tell us about our tongues and words. Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account. They shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Now, if Jesus makes this bold statement about our words, and that on judgment day we will be judged according to our words, shouldn't we be more concerned with what proceeds from our lips? In fact, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 30, that in these days, people will be gossips, slanderers, and boastful. Elsewhere in the Bible, it says that in these days, people will be grumblers, complainers, and in fact, our culture shows its support for sinful uses of our tongues. Gossip columns and shows like Entertainment Tonight tells us the latest news about a celebrity, whether it is a rumor or factual, all of which to appeal to our sinful nature. There are places on the internet that contribute to laughing and talking negatively about the folly of others, which most reality TV shows fall into that category. There are so many sins of the tongue. But this evening, we want to look at if we are new creatures in Christ. In fact, if we have been saved by grace through faith, then we should be actively pursuing sanctification with our tongues because of the danger of our tongue, the deceitfulness of our hearts, and our desire to be like Christ. Again, we should be actively pursuing sanctification with our tongues because of the danger of our tongue, the deceitfulness of our hearts, and because of our desire to be like Christ. Turn with me now to James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Read with me, please. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. If you were to think of a small part of your body, most times the tongue wouldn't be the first thing that you think of. Yet, it is used for a few things, like licking envelopes, tasting food, etc. But the way James presents it here, it could be used for other things as well. One most common way we use our tongues is communication. We communicate words, sounds, and so forth. The downside is the tongue can be used for sinful things as well. James points us to, even though it is a small function of our body, it boasts of great things. In fact, look at verse 4. He illustrates this by showing us a ship can be controlled by a small rudder, and our tongues can control us in the same manner. James gives us another illustration in verse 6 when he says, see how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. My friends, I submit to you is that even though it's small in size, the tongue can cause a heap of destruction. Tears people down, it shares gossip, it spreads lies, it destroys churches, it destroys relationships, it destroys families, marriages, friendships. The tongue can cause a lot of problems. As a small fire can destroy a great forest by growing from itself, so can the destruction caused by the tongue. In fact, Solomon compared the tongue to a fire when he said in Proverbs 16 and 27, a worthless man digs up evil while his words are like scorching fire. Now look with me at verse 6 in James. Verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. You may ask, our tongue is the very world of iniquity? You see, James is referring to the tongue metaphorically here, that it is expressive of a magnitude of unrighteousness. Or, in other words, the tongue can spew out an enormous amount of sin, defiling the entire body. Verses 7 and 8. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. Verse 8, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. No one can tame the tongue. No one can control it. No human being in his own power can control his or her own tongue. It is wild, it is loose, it is unrestrainable. Even David knew this. Turn with me to Psalm 141, verse 3. David knew this exact same thing in Psalm 141, verse 3. When he said this, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." A question comes to mind here. Do we do as David prayed? Do we do as David prayed and we ask the Lord to set a guard over our mouths? In fact, even at this retreat, have you kept watch over your lips here? Have you kept watch over your mouth this week? Have you thought about that? Not only is the tongue a restless evil, but it is also full of deadly poison. And if there is anything that we know about poison, it is this: that poison acts as an agent destroying living tissues. If any of you have had poison ivy before, you know that once it touches your skin, it destroys those living skin cells and a rash tends to break out. Our tongues are full of poison. And as sin has infected our bodies since birth, our tongues were not spared as well. James says in verses 9 through 10, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing." Can you imagine this? Imagine this with me. You're just coming from Sunday evening service. Then while driving home, someone cuts you off in traffic and you yell at them. Has that ever happened before? We all have failed at this. We have all failed at praising God one moment, then slandering someone the next. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. This small member of our bodies can spew out a lot of unrighteousness. We may tend to think that we are capable in our own strength of saying things that are good, righteous, or honorable. But our human intellect does not bear the righteousness of God. So if nothing good dwells in our flesh and our tongues are dangerous, then another reason we should aggressively pursue having our tongues set apart is because of the deceitfulness of the heart. Turn with me right now to Luke 6 and 45. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. So we have looked at why we should pursue aggressive sanctification of our tongues because of the danger of the tongue, and now we are looking at the deceitfulness of the heart. Luke 6 and 45. And it reads, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." Paul Tripp, in his book, War of Words, states that word problems are always related to heart problems. The people and the situations around us do not make us say what we say. They are only occasions for the heart to express itself in words. You see, there is always a reason behind what we say, and it's related to our heart. Jesus tells us in this parable that the good man stores up good things in his heart. the word good here probably refers to that which is morally honorable, pleasing to God in character. He then says, the evil man will bring forth evil things out of his treasure. A question that may be asked here is, how do we determine this? How do we determine whether a person is bringing forth that which is good or that which is evil? Jesus answered this by saying, by what his mouth speaks. Jesus is saying that whatever a man speaks is connected to his heart. What is in a man's inner nature is that which he will yield. Good things will flow from the mouth of a man who has been regenerated in his heart by the Holy Spirit. And by this, we can conclude that the root problem with our words and tongues is an indication that we have a problem with our hearts. And if we are ever to determine why we should pursue aggressive sanctification with our tongues, we must first begin with our hearts. Why is this? Because our words and our thoughts are shaped by our hearts. The evil words that we speak is not because someone made us, but rather because of the evil that is already inside of us. The prophet Jeremiah makes this clear in Jeremiah 17 and 9. Turn with me there. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. And he says this, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Or flip back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, where it says this, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the heart, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jesus goes a step further and tells us, in fact, what's exactly in our hearts. He does this in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Mark 7, 21 through 23. And it reads, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, and foolishness. My friends, the center of our evil words lies right in the center of our evil hearts. The tongue only gives us a chance to express those thoughts. When we respond in sinful ways, these are only opportunities for the heart to express itself with words. And how do we do that? The kids wouldn't listen, so I yelled. Or she made me angry. Or even this, I didn't have the time to discuss it calmly. These are just some of the excuses that we use to justify the reasons why we sin with our tongues. I think to draw us even more is to think how the word tongue is used in the Bible. It is used metaphorically often to describe the hidden springs of a person's life, which is the heart. So we must be aggressively pursuing sanctification with our tongues, because how a person really thinks and feels is revealed in what they say. And for the believer should seek good words. And good words can only come from a regenerated storehouse. So I ask you, have you been regenerated by the Holy Spirit? What about your words? What do your words indicate about your heart? Have they been critical? Have they been unwholesome? Have they been unloving? Have they been ungraceful? Or even this, have your words even indicated that you actually think that you're perfect? Have they? So we have seen that we should pursue aggressive sanctification because of the danger of the tongue and the deceitfulness of the heart. But the most important reason for believers is because of our desire to be like Christ. Turn with me to 1 Peter right now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. Again, our most important reason why we should be pursuing aggressive sanctification with our tongues is because of our desire to be like Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23, and it reads, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." Peter lets us know that for believers, you have been called. And this call is God's efficacious saving call when God calls dead sinners to life in Jesus Christ. He says, "Believers, you have been summoned for this purpose. You have been summoned by God to follow in the steps of the example set before us." And that example is Jesus Christ. Christ is the one in whom we should imitate when we are suffering. But during those sufferings, Christ not only did not sin, but there was no deceit found in his mouth. Can we follow the example of Christ? Can we follow the example of Christ when hardships occur? When we are being slandered? Or when someone has lied and spread falsehoods about us? Can we follow Christ's example and not sin with our mouths? Will no sinful corruption be found in your mouth when someone is slandering you? Believers desire to be like Christ. We should desire to follow his example. Jesus is our greatest example of why we should aggressively pursue sanctification with our words. See, his mouth couldn't utter sin because there was no sin found in him. He did not accuse in return, nor did he utter threats. And this is remarkable. At a time when Jesus was being mocked, slandered, spit upon, being reviled, he only responded with grace. When he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus didn't return evil for evil, but kept his tongue from evil. Christ simply continued to entrust himself to him who judges righteously. What an encouragement that is for believers. That Christ has shown us how to respond with our mouths. He is our greatest example. He is who we should model ourselves off. Not the people on TV. Certainly not those in an authority over this country. But Christ. Instead of giving back threats, Jesus gave back grace. Christ could have brought down judgment immediately. But it is the grace and love of Christ that we stand. As the song says, "For every sin on him was laid, here is the power of Christ in me." So, as our culture continues to become more sinful with our mouths and our hearts, you see this today, all throughout the newspapers, all throughout the television. How many of us say, "Hey, let's pray. Let's share the gospel." So, how now should we live? All right. We've had the reasons why we should pursue sanctification with our tongues. But how do we make it practical? How now shall we live? How should we pursue aggressive sanctification with our tongues? Well, Colossians is a great place to start. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. "But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouths. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the one who created him." My friends, instead of using our lips to slander and gossip, let us put off the old selves and pray for the people that we have thought of slandering and gossiping against. In fact, there are many more scriptures, but one to sum up is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. It's verse 29. And it reads, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Well, that sums it up. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And that should be our prayer. That should be our prayer, that we pray that the Lord helps us to use wholesome words. And the question is, where do we find wholesome words? By reading the Word of God. By reading the Word of God. So I ask you, have you prayed for others? Have you given more of your opinion today than speaking God's word to others? If you think back over the course of these last few days, how much of God's word have you shared with other people compared to the amount of times you've given your opinion? See, as we proceed in this journey called life, as the world continues to move further and further away from God, especially in our mouths, let us take heed and aggressively pursue sanctification with our tongues. In fact, we must. I must. You must. The fall of man has left our tongues and hearts full of poison, full of sin. It is this evil from our mouths and hearts within that said, crucify him, crucify him. That led Jesus to being crucified on the cross. Let us seek to turn from the dreadful sins of our mouths and walk as Christ walked, speak as Christ spoke, and respond in the ways that Christ did. May lying, deceitfulness, slander, and other dreadful sins be put away from us so that we may be reconciled with God. Let our hearts be cleansed from sin and seek to honor Christ with our words. Is that you? Have you sinned with your mouth? Have you not been reconciled with God? Then I beg of you to turn from your sin and believe upon Christ. Drink from the living water who is able to lead you with good words to speak, and find great joy in that. Christ is the one who will direct you to bearing up a storehouse full of good words. The Puritan Thomas Brooks said this: we know metals by their tinkling and men by their talking. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord and Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we recognize that all of us here have sinned in some way with our tongues. And Lord, please forgive us of that. Lord, let our minds and our hearts be filled with your word. Help us to bear up good treasure in our hearts. Lord, help us to speak wholesome words that will encourage others, that will edify, Lord, so that it may give grace to those who hear. Lord, direct us to your word. Strengthen us by the power of your word to speak more of your word and less of our opinions for your glory and our good. In Christ's name.